You're listening to the Full Contact Fighter Radio Network.
Hey guys, this is Dennis Kang. Hey,
this is Mr. Cripples, a.k.a. the Cat Smasher.
Hey, this is John the Natural Alessio.
Hey, this is Rashad Evans.
Hey guys, this is the Big Frog, Jeff Curran.
Hey, this is Mac Danzig.
Hey guys, this is Jason the Athlete McDonald.
Hi, this is Ivan Salvage.
Hey everybody, this is Jordan Elter, Jay Dirksen.
Hey, it's Mark Machine Hunting here.
Hey everybody, you are listening to the world's most handsome fighter on the planet. Yes, this is Al Guapo, and you are listening to Full Contact Fighter Radio with Kelsey Mowat.
Thank you for tuning in to Full Contact Fighter Radio. After three dress rehearsals, Brendan and I are bringing you our official intro now, aren't we, Brendan?
Jesse.
The inappropriately named FCF radio program, which should, I guess, technically be called a podcast. Every now and then I still catch flack about that, so.
And my question to you is, why aren't we on, like, one of these satellite radio networks?
It's a lot of money, buddy, and I know this is shocking to all the listeners out there, but there's not a great deal. We don't have a very high budget for this show, so I know it's hard to believe, but.
Well, didn't Full Contact Fighter buy into part of a satellite? Don't we own, like, an actual satellite floating around in space?
Yeah, I think actually we bought part of the moon. We're going to have the first mixed martial arts training center on the moon eventually, so.
Nice. Yeah. Talk about high altitude training.
Yeah, it's going to be
no
pretty
oxygen.
Sweet. Yeah. Pretty sweet. So if people want to make reservations, you can always contact us at radio@fcfighter.com. And
yeah, isn't Richard Branson going to fly the fighters up there?
Yeah, I believe so.
On his new spaceship, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, how much are the flights on his new spaceship?
I think it's like, $15 a pound or something like that.
Wow.
I just courier stuff on it, so I don't fly on it.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, Brendan, we've got an interesting show today. We've got Mr. Forrest Griffin coming on the program. We taped that segment earlier, and unfortunately you couldn't join me for that. And he was schooling me a little bit in the intellectual game again, man, just like last time. He's a savvy one, that Forrest Griffin. So people can look forward to hearing me be humiliated somewhat in a few spots. So that people can look forward to that. And then we've also got Roger Hollick coming on the program. He is one of the up-and-coming light heavyweight fighters out of Nova Scotia. He's had a few fights in the Extreme Cage Combat event out there. He's going to be traveling to Edmonton, your neck of the woods, Brendan, to take on Mike Maurer, the professional Edmonton Eskimos football player. He's going to be fighting Roger Hollett on the February 3rd MFC card. So got Roger coming on the program too.
Are you up for that show?
I haven't decided yet. I have to talk to the powers that be and figure stuff out. So I might be coming out for it. We'll see.
Well, I'll have to get the Full Contact Fighter jet to fly you up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll have to make my reservation for that. I think they've got the Sultan of Brunei booked for that weekend on the helicopter, so.
I think it just might be one of his wives, so he can bump her probably.
Yeah, and I thought that was kind of an interesting announcement in a sense. Both those guys are kind of being groomed as up-and-coming stars in their respective promotions, and neither one of them has a great deal of MMA experience, but there's certainly some hype behind both those fighters, so the fact that those two promotions have teamed up or having those two fighters go at it on February 3rd. It was kind of surprising to me, but, you know, that's great for us fans.
No, I think it'll be a nice little show.
Yeah. All right, well, stay tuned. You're listening to Full Contact Fighter Radio.
Mixed martial arts history will be made as the International Fight League kicks off its 2007 inaugural season Friday, January 19th at the Oracle Arena. See Maurice Smith's Tiger Sharks battle Marco Huas's Condor. Plus, sibling rivalry comes to life as Ken Shamrock's Lions square off against Frank Shamrock's Razor Claws. Be there Friday, January 19th, 7:30 p.m. at the Oracle Arena. For tickets, call Ticketmaster at 510-625-8497 or log on to Ticketmaster.com.
The best stuff for MMA clothing is definitely the Full Contact Fighter shop, because with FCF gear, you don't have to be a champion to dress like one. Go check it out by now. I know you've seen it, that classic FCF logo on so many great items like our classic t-shirts, tricot jackets. We've got new high-quality rash guards, plus the NXP Extreme Fight shorts, which are available in red, black, navy, or camo. Of course, don't forget about our fantastic FCF hoodies, a variety of NHB corduroy and distress wash hats, plus now open is the FCF sticker and banner shop. We've got a wide assortment of International Fight League merch, all your favorite teams there. Just head to www.fcfighter.com or call 516-676-0033. That number again is 516-676-0033. Joining Full Contact Fighter Radio now is the incomparable Mr. Forrest Griffin. Forrest, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm not really sure what you mean by incomparable. Wow. Maybe incomprehensible, but, you know, whatever.
Right, right. You're humble as always. Just don't, you just can't let a compliment go your way, can you, buddy?
No, I really just didn't know what it meant. You could have been insulting me for all I know.
Yeah, well, we'll leave that for another time as far as debating my vocabulary. Probably some fan will write it and say.
You should probably insult me after I get off live, right?
Right.
Later, like, as soon as I hang up, then you talk about me back.
Yeah. And as well, someone, if they want to critique my choice of words there, they're always free to email me in. Send me an email and tell me I use the word incorrectly. First, question for you, Forrest. Did you catch the fights last night?
I did, most of them. I missed some of them.
Yeah? What were your thoughts? Anything jump out at you?
So what now?
Anything in particular highlight for you at all?
Yeah. I mean, you know, my buddy Koscheck looked all right.
Yeah.
You know, still an awesome wrestler. Still goes back to his bread and butter when he gets uncomfortable. But, you know, so does Tito. You know, if he's doing good, like both those guys, if they're doing good up top, you know, they'll try to make it a good fight, but if they sense they're in a little bit of trouble, they go back to their bread and butter, no worries there. Diego, you know, always just, man, he's looking good. And he's got a Jardines camp, so I'm sure some good things are happening there, so should probably get ready for this guy.
Yeah, exactly, and that's why we're having you on the show. Taking on Keith Jardine, coming up, UFC 66, December 30th. And, you know, I don't want to ask you the obvious, how's training camp going? Because I think fighters get tired.
Well, I said this morning wasn't the best in the world.
No?
No, I don't know. I just wasn't, man. This wasn't very good.
Well, why is that?
It was slow. Timing, not reacting. No pop, no explosion. I might just be a little overtrained.
You know, maybe that's what fighters should actually start to do is because we journalists, we always ask guys, how's training camp going? And you always get the standard, oh, it's going awesome, never been better, never been in better shape. You know what you should do, man, is you should start saying, it's going terrible, my reflexes are slow, you know.
No, it was just today, you know. I had like two, what's today, Thursday?
Yeah.
Monday and Tuesday were good, and the last 2 days have been kind of, yesterday was okay. Today was crappy, but we got two more tries to get it right.
And the last time we had you on the show, you were getting ready for your second fight with Stephen Bonner. And is your training camp changed?
I've been on the show before?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude. I'm surprised I don't remember you were giving us Canadian guys a hard time. Calling us
Canadians. Canadian? Oh, I've got to go, man. Yeah. I love the Canadians. Yeah, there's a lot of hot chicks in Canada, huh?
Yeah, and you made that exact same comment last time you were on. So.
Did I?
Yeah.
Now you know. Now you know, though, that I believe that to be true.
It's true. And you were even talking about moving up here because at the time you were frying eggs on the sidewalks in Vegas.
Yes. But I'm cool with that. I like hot's better than cold for me.
Right. Well, I mean, has your training camp changed up at all for us? Are you still the same kind of guy, same group, or have you brought in some
same guys, you know, working with Mark Beecher, my Thai coach, Ron Frazier, boxing coach, working with Cavalcante on some jits, rolling it lame with Layman occasionally. You know, all the guys at Zion's, Mike Pyle, Jay Heron, you know, same guys are going to corner me that always corner me.
Yeah.
You know, I feel all right. I think I can win.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Keith probably thinks he can win too. So, what can you do?
When you break down a fighter like Jardine, he, at least it seems to everybody that he's a very well-rounded fighter, very dangerous. What's going to be your game plan going in against a guy like Keith?
That's a good question. I'm gonna try and groin strikes. I'll groin strikes. Mm-hmm. I think in the clinch you can get away with a lot more than you think you can. So that's what I'm gonna do. All groin strikes all the time. Maybe an eye gouge too. I don't know. I'm not up on my Chuck footed lately, but you know, maybe I'll try that too.
Oh, take a little sleight of hand for expensive Chuck Liddell, huh?
No, don't hurt me, Chuck.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say it. Now it's gonna hurt me.
Well, when you
really he's gonna hurt me. He's gonna make me go out drinking with him on New Year's Eve and I'll die.
Yeah, you figure that you guys are, he's going to be going out for a celebratory night out. You think he's going to take out Tito for a second time?
Yeah, I do. I really do. Tito's healthy. He wasn't healthy with me. I'm sure, you know, things are better. I'm sure, you know, he's really gotten himself right for this. But I just think athletes, you know, in any sport, they have, that zone, you know, where they hit their peak and everything just falls into place mentally and physically for them. And I think Chuck's there. I don't know how long that'll last. You see a guy like Randy, he looked invincible. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like he got old in one fight. Roy Jones, same thing, you know, seemed invincible. And then, his whole game was predicated upon speed. And the second his speed started to slip, boom, wasn't there, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of Chuck's game was predicated upon reaction time and, heavy hands. I might start to slip on him as the years come up, but right now I don't think he can be beat.
Well, in your fight against Tito,
Quinn might come over. I'd like to see them fight.
Yeah, well, actually, I was going to ask you about that in just a second, but I guess with Chuck, I mean, when you look at your fight with Tito had a great deal of difficulty taking you down past the first round. Can you see Tito getting Chuck to the ground in this fight?
Yeah. I mean, he could, but Chuck is Chuck's a survivor on the ground, you know. His jits and whatnot, I think, is a little underrated. You know, just because he doesn't want to do it in the fight doesn't mean he can't do it. Doesn't mean he doesn't do it, you know, 10, 12 hours a week in the gym.
Yeah, no, true enough. You know, going back to the Jardine fight for a second here.
Do we have to?
Well, I want to hear your thoughts on his fight with Stephen Bonner. That was a very controversial fight. A lot of people thought Jardine had taken that fight. I'm guessing that probably you've watched that fight amongst many others of Keith. I don't know if your fighter watches tapes, but it seems like most guys do. Do you remember that fight? What's that?
I hate watching tapes, but you got to.
Yeah, I mean, your thoughts on that fight? Did you think Jardine took that fight, or did you give it to Stefan?
I don't know. Stefan's my buddy. I'm a little biased. I thought he won. I thought, didn't he drop him twice? Yeah, he dropped him twice. I thought that was enough to carry him. You know, the overall fight might have been more for Keith, but you drop a guy and have him dazed, which it's not like he hit him and he got fouled, you know, and wasn't hurt like Riggs at first before he caught that knee. He was shaking both times Stefan caught him, you know. Stefan knocked him down, almost choked him out there, you know.
Well, and a guy like Keith, it just seems like he's got a ton of heart, always seems to be very well conditioned, keeps coming at the fighter no matter what, even if he's losing. How do you prepare for a fighter like that, Forrest? I mean, are you one of those guys that really tries to build up a fighter in your mind so that you're fearful and train that much harder and have that edge?
Oh,
or are you the opposite?
I don't have to. I mean, I know the sport. I know you can lose to anybody. You know, a guy like Keith can certainly beat you, you know?
Yeah.
Stefan could have beaten me, you know? I'm not, you know, I know what I am. I'm a realist. I got, you know, some attributes. And, you know, I'm in decent shape. I'm a pretty big guy for 205. And, you know, I'm not the slowest guy in the world. I got a little bit of pop. But, you know, I know what I'm not. And, I'm just a realist about the whole thing.
And as I mentioned last time you were on the show, you were getting ready for your second fight, Stefan. Looking back on that now, your thoughts on the overall fight? And you had told us that you wanted to keep it standing. You felt you had the edge against Stefan in that respect. When you look back on it now, anything you would have done differently, or, you know, pretty much game plan well executed in your mind?
Man, I'll tell you the truth. These things are kind of hard when you get in there. It's almost like the guy doesn't want you to do what you're trying to do. You know, it's kind of difficult. So, you know, I executed the game plan as well as I could. Stefan helped me out by running a little, you know, backing off and letting me on the center of the ring too much. And if Keith does that, I hope he's in trouble, but I don't think he'll do that. I think he'll kind of come at me a little more.
Now, you mentioned Quinton Jackson. There's been some huge news in regards to the UFC this last week, although, you know, none of it has really been officially confirmed yet, but certainly a lot of reports from different sources point to the fact that a lot of the guys in the WFA are going to be heading to the UFC. There's rumors about Krokop, Heath Herring. Maybe you should move up. You mentioned you're a big 205, or what do you think? Go up and start fighting Krokop and Heath there for us?
Yeah, I spar with Heath 2 to 3 times every week, and I spar with Whitehead, you know, and I like being the bigger, stronger guy, you know? I like that. I don't want to be the smaller guy, you know? Why not be, you know, the top of your weight class instead of the bottom? I mean, if I balloon back up where I was, I'll fight heavyweight, but I don't think I can be a top echelon fighter at heavyweight. I know I can't. At light heavyweight, I think I can be one of the top guys.
And what do you think of that, Quentin Jackson, if this does work out and he comes to the UFC? You know, in my opinion, this guy's got a huge potential to be an enormous star in the States, just not only because of his fighting ability, but his charisma.
Yeah, I mean, interview potential alone is out of control. And now that he doesn't cuss anymore, you know, you can't beat him.
Yeah, well, maybe that's where you've got your edge, you know? You're pretty well known for your interviewing savvy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Me and him could really have some pre-fight banter if we ever got to fight.
Yeah. And thankfully, for me, you're not too big into the curses, so I don't have to do too much editing for iTunes. I appreciate that.
I don't know. I like my profanity. I was making a real big effort not to cuss, because the other day I was screaming something. You know, I was having a bad day, and there's a kid's class coming in right as we were walking out, and I'm screaming, F, and, you know, his mom's looking at me, and I'm like, who looks like a jerk? I do, all right. But that lasted like a week.
Right, and you being the former cop, I think you're used to trying to. Well, one would hope you're used to trying to putting on a good performance as far as being in the public eye and whatnot.
Oh yeah. I really don't though. Yeah. I don't. I'm not a good actor. I just kind of act like me. About it.
And the last time we talked to you as well, you were basically the co-main event, or the fight before the main event. It was Liddell and Sobral. And you had picked Chuck to win that fight, although you thought some people were overlooking Sobral. Your thoughts on that fight for us while we have you here?
Chuck and Renato.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Babalu's just an opinion, and you know what opinions are like. But, man, I don't know. Babalu just didn't seem to come in with a great game plan. I'm not sure what was going on there. It looked like he almost kind of did all that work, was in the best shape, you know. I watched his All Access. I was really impressed with the way he trained and what he did. And then he comes in and kind of just says, oh, what the hell, I'm just going to run it. I don't know. It's what you really can't do against Chuck, you know.
Any thoughts on why you think that was? You think he just got sort of maybe a little bit nervous going in, sort of threw the game plan out the window? Or?
I don't know. My telepathy is a little off. I've been working on it, but it's just not coming. Watching that Heroes thing, you know, and I want to read people's minds, you know, but it's not happening for me.
Fair enough. I deserve that one.
Hey, man, it's all fun again.
Actually, the last time you were...
It's more fun doing this.
The last time you were on, you actually, Brendan was going on about you're defeating us in the intellectual game, and you're certainly doing that to just me. I'm half my wits without Brendan being here.
Goodness.
My last question for you, Forrest, this is like back-to-back.
I don't know what it is, but it's true.
Back-to-back. What's life like for you now, man? I mean, this is back-to-back cards. You're the last time with Liddell and Sobral, as I mentioned, you're fighting against Stefan. Now you're coming up, and you're going to be the fight before Tito and Chuck. These are huge pay-per-view cards, huge buys. You're obviously one of the ultimate fighter finalists. What's life for you like now, man? I mean, did you expect to be where you're at, say, even 2 years ago? Did you ever really think that this is where you're going to be at?
I'll tell you the truth. I just did this as sort of as a joke, you know? The whole thing, I wasn't really serious. I was like, man, that stuff looks cool. I'll give it a shot. And, damn, if I didn't win a couple fights, and, you know, it was like 2000. Damn, 7 years later, now it's the most important thing in my life is this fighting nonsense. Kind of weird.
Recent acquisitions, etc., it would seem that the UFC is really putting their kingdom in order, if you will, especially in North America, doing extremely well. But mixed martial arts in general is doing well in North America. Other promotions are doing well. Showtime. Showtime's coming up, IFL. What are your thoughts on that for us, as far as seeing other companies come into the fray and they're doing quite well as well as the UFC?
It's like I work for Coke, man, so I'm a big fan of Coke.
Yeah.
You know, Coca-Cola is the one that writes my paycheck. You know, it's the UFC on it, and they're the ones that are taking care of me, and they, you know, they're the people that, you know, like last fight I hurt my hand. I said, damn, my hand hurt me. Give me a doctor. I'm going to die for the next day and stuff, you know. And call him up. I said, damn, I don't know how to do my taxes. And he had somebody do my taxes for me. So, you know, obviously, I'm a big fan of the UFC, you know. I've always thought of it like this, you know. I was a huge basketball and football fan my whole life. So my freshman year of college, I found this fight and stuff. And I started watching it, and I really thought, hey, man, this is the essence of, I didn't actually say hey, man, to myself, but
right.
I thought, hey, this is the essence of human competition, you know? And, you know, let's lose the you know, the $130 basketball shoes and the footballs and all these equipment. Let's do this, you know? Let's put gloves on, a cup, a mouthpiece, and, you know, it's, I was like, this is cool, you know? Because, well, in any sport, you know, what do? They just fight. So I was like, yeah, let's get the foreplay. And so I didn't understand, you know, back in 2000 when I found the sport, or 99, why people weren't just mad about it, you know? I was like, why doesn't everybody love this? This is the best sport, you know? I mean, how can you sit and watch baseball? It's horrible. I've never liked baseball, no offense. But,
yeah, I see. I kind of like baseball, but I'm not offended, buddy. Go ahead. Continue your thought.
Sorry for your girlfriend to have to sit and watch boring-ass games with you.
Nah, she doesn't. But I'll tell her that you share her pain.
Hey, man, no worries. You know, my girlfriend's really into,
Well, we're Canadian, so we're really into hockey. You like hockey?
You know, hockey's all right.
Yeah. There's a rough side to hockey, you know? You get the scraps going on, the tough guys.
I tell you what, man, most of those guys could probably beat me up if I had skates on. I don't know, I don't know how well I could fight with skates. I'd probably fall down, try and throw a leg kick or something, and just be in a world of hurt.
Yeah, well, you being from Georgia originally, have you ever even been on skates?
Yeah, many, you know, not many times, but I can skate.
Uh-huh.
We actually had a skating rink, and that was like the cool thing to do, is go to the skating rink. Yeah, it's right.
Well, there was actually, I don't know if you heard about this, it was a big deal up here in Canada. Last year, there was actually a hockey fighting pay-per-view competition up in British Columbia. How about that? And all guys did is they skated out center ice, dropped their gloves, and fought. And they actually were wearing MMA gloves. Kind of bizarre.
Yeah, I'm not sure why you do that. I don't know. Can we get the skates off and just fight? Cool. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm proud to say that I didn't partake in that pay-per-view buy, so I was one of the fortunate ones from the sounds of it. We'll let you get out of here. I know you're really busy to get ready for your upcoming December 30th fight. It's Keith Jardine, UFC 66 for us. Thanks for coming on the show once again.
All right, man. Thank you much. Wish me luck.
Okay, good luck, man.
Bye-bye.
They fight for different things. For some, it's for fame. For others, it's a job. Some fighters just like to hurt people. Visit BodogFight.com and see who the fighters are and why winning matters to them. They'll have a chance to win, but only if that next round matters more than anything. View highlights, read fighter bios, watch TV episodes, or see when the next live event is. Don't miss any mixed martial arts action. BodogFight.com. Make it matter.
Mixed martial arts history will be made as the International Fight League continues its 2007 inaugural season, Friday, February 2nd at the Reliant Arena. See Boss Rudin's Anacondas battle Pat Miletich's Silverbacks and Antonio Inoki Sabres face off against Don Fry's Scorpion. Plus, the super fight between MMA legends Matt the Law Lindland and Carlos the Rona Newton. Be there Friday, February 2nd, 7:30 p.m. at the Reliant Arena. For tickets, call Ticketmaster at 713-629-3700 or log on to Ticketmaster.com.
Joining Full Contact Fighter Radio right now is Roger Holland from Nova Scotia. Roger, are you in Halifax right now, or is that where you reside, Nova Scotia?
Yeah, Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Okay, yeah, I've got some family from out there, and so I always like to ask the Maritime fighters whereabouts they're at, especially if they're from Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
What's it like there in Halifax right now as far as weather-wise? I don't know if you're aware, but out here in the West Coast, I'm in Vancouver, and we're just getting bombarded with snow. Well, that was last week. We had a water boil advisory for a couple of weeks, tons of rain, wind storms. You guys having a pleasant winter so far?
So far, we usually get it pretty bad, but so far we've been plus the last few days and not too much snow, so we're getting pretty lucky this far.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Roger, I want to ask you a little bit about your last fight against Ray Penny at Extreme Cage Combat 4, I believe it was, Fury.
Yeah.
You pulled out the win. Maybe for the people who didn't hear about it, maybe tell us a little bit about that fight and how you got the submission victory.
I got the rear naked choke in the first round. Trained really hard for that fight. Went according to plan.
And what did you know about a fighter like Ray Penny going in? Did you know a lot about Ray? Did you have a game plan coming up against him?
Well, I knew he was going to try and come at me, try and take me off my game. I knew he was training in a strong camp, and I mean, he's coming off a knockout, so he's confident. So I knew he'd be coming in there tough, and I just weathered any the storm he had and came up with the victory.
Now, Roger, you're 3-0 to begin your mixed martial arts career, and all your victories have actually come away of submission. I had the rear naked choke against Ray Penny, you had a key lock victory against Jason Cecil, and an armbar against Peter Rogers. Would you say that that's your kind of bread and butter, is a submission game? I've also heard that you got some pretty good stand-up, so do you feel you're just more an all-round fighter, and so far it's just been the submission opportunities have been there?
Well, yeah, they're just, I work my stand-up game, and we usually end up on the ground, and then the submissions come, of course. And I try to just mix it up and take what I can get.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, well, he is your father, famous boxer, and that's kind of, I think, one of the reasons that you're more well-known in Nova Scotia, or so I hear. Maybe tell us a little bit about your father and his background in boxing in Nova Scotia, etc.
Yeah, he was a Canadian boxing and kickboxing champion for a couple of years. He had a karate background, so I brought up on karate and boxing and made the transition to jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai.
And when did you make the decision, Roger, that you wanted to compete in mixed martial arts? And how long have you been doing? It sounds like you started out with karate, boxing, etc. When did you make the switch to start training some jiu-jitsu as well?
I made the switch when I was 19. My friends were doing it, and they invited me down to a tryout, and I went in there and got my butt kicked, and I stuck with it ever since.
Yeah. And is that kind of what led you to wanting to fight in mixed martial arts, or what was about that process?
Well, that was just, I found a new challenge for something for me to try and shoot for, and so far, so good.
Yeah.
It's 2019.
Now, we've had Peter Marcel on the program. He's, of course, the ECC promoter and one of the head instructors at Titans Mixed Martial Arts, and that's where you train out of. Tell us a little bit about Team Titan. How's it going? You've got some other fighters coming up, and tell us a little bit about the involvement with Team Titans and the ECC.
Yeah, well, I've been with them guys since I started training, so we've got some good fighters coming out of there. There's a lot of talent coming up, and there should be some good shows in the future to come.
And Peter Martel who else is the instructors there? They're affiliated with, they're both, I think there's two brown belts that instructor.
Pardon?
There are two brown belts in jiu-jitsu there, I believe. The instructor is Peter or black belt, I forget now.
No, they're both browns, and they're Enzo Gracie. Robert Walker, the Muay Thai champion. He's also one of the trainers.
Okay. When I had Peter on, I was asking about the growth of mixed martial arts in Nova Scotia, and of course it's growing leaps and bounds. For yourself, and I asked Peter his thoughts on this, and he's had the gym open for several years now, but he never really expected mixed martial arts to get to the point where it is. And it's still somewhat of a fledgling sport, I guess it's safe to say, in a sense, in Nova Scotia. But on the other hand, you guys have had a few attendances at the ECCs of 4,000, 5,000. I believe the first show might have even been close to 7,000. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts, your perceptions on mixed martial arts in the Maritimes. Did you ever think it was going to get this big, Roger?
Well, I knew it would be popular, but I didn't think it would take off as fast as it was. I mean, because it's just all over the TVs now, so everybody's just jumping right on. Like, everybody's just becoming so fascinated with it, and they get to see it live by coming to our shows in Nova Scotia. They get to watch UFC on TV, so, everybody's just taking a real, real liking to it and appreciates what the athletes are doing.
Mm-hmm. What about the local fighters? I mean, it seems like you guys are finally getting your shot, whether it's the ECC and now I see, and I want to ask you a little bit about this, your upcoming fight, because you're going to be heading out west. But before we get into that, what about the level of fighters in Nova Scotia? It seems like, you guys don't necessarily have the experience. There's not a lot of guys other than perhaps maybe Jason McDonald, who's, left Nova Scotia quite a while ago. Are there a lot of fighters now coming out of there and starting to get some fights? And is that part of the reason, I'm guessing, the ECC came about, to get you guys some fights right away?
Well, yeah. I mean, they see that our club is producing some talent. There's a lot of talent in Dartmouth, all over the Maritimes and Eastern Canada. There's so much talent here that's not really getting the chance to get out there because there's so much competition, and so, we get to showcase it here in Atlantic Canada.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're going to be taking on Mike Maurer February 3rd at the upcoming Maximum Fighting Championships in Edmonton.
Yep.
And what do you know about Mike? Obviously, he's a his claim to fame, of course, is he's part of the member of the Edmonton Eskimos. He won the, I think, Canadian MVP award for the Grey Cup 2005, which is kind of irrelevant as far as mixed martial arts go. But, you know, Mike's kind of being promoted a lot out west, being a local football player, and you're getting a lot of promotion, or there's a lot of hype behind you out there in Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. Were you kind of surprised that when they offered you this fight, and what do you think of Mike as a fighter?
Well, I think he's definitely going to be a good fighter. I mean, he'll definitely have the conditioning. He's obviously an athlete, and I'm sure he'll train very hard for this fight.
And what do you know about his background?
I can't remember who he's under. He's under some. He's under a jiu-jitsu guy. I guess is very good. I can't think of his name right now. His record's one win, one draw. That's pretty much all I know about him.
When you approach fights like this, and you say you don't know a lot about him, do you come into it with a certain game plan at all, or are you one of those fighters that just kind of likes to see where it goes as far as the fight?
See where it goes. I mean, it's too hard to plan what a fighter's going to do. I mean, just train what you train to do and get in there and do your best.
I know you don't want to look past that fight, of course, but what are your aspirations for mixed martial arts, Roger? Are you able to train full-time right now? Do you have to keep other work? And where do you see yourself in, let's say, you know, end of 2007 as far as your MMA career goes?
Right now, I'm able to train more than I was before. I haven't been able to quite give up work, but I'm very flexible. They're very flexible with me with that. And I hope to just keep fighting and take whatever the fight game takes me.
Yeah. You know,
big show someday.
If fighters are willing to travel, you know, in comparison to a couple of years ago in Canada, and I guess it's actually quite similar to the States, but especially here in Canada, now that there's more shows available, you know, just because of our lack of population, there wasn't as many cards in comparison to the States. But that trend is changing. Are you one of those fighters that likes to fight, you know, once a month, six times a year? Do you have a preference, or would you rather just kind of fight three or four times?
I would like to fight, you know, as much as humanly possible, you know, but you definitely need your rest time, you know, and my trainer and manager, Robert Walker, whenever, you know, he decides, he thinks I should fight.
Did you get a chance to see the fights last night, the Ultimate Fight Night?
Yeah. Some good fights on there.
What did you think of Jeff Joslin's performance?
Like Koscheck was just so dominating in the wrestling. Mm-hmm. He was really impressive there. I mean, that's really hard to compete against. Otherwise, he was doing really well on the ground, and, you know, he put up the best fight he could against such a world-class wrestler.
Yeah, and what are your thoughts on that as a fighter? It seems like up here in Canada, and it's something that's kind of changing, but for quite a while, in comparison to the States, we didn't have necessarily the influence of wrestling in Canadian mixed martial arts. A lot of our fighters, I mean, obviously they trained in wrestling to an extent, but we didn't have, like in the States, collegiate wrestling is a huge, huge sport there. There's tons of guys coming out of collegiate wrestling getting an MMA. And it seems that only recently we're getting some of our Olympic wrestlers either, or national team wrestlers, entering MMA or helping train other MMA fighters. Do you guys at Titans have some people that you can work on your wrestling with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a few wrestlers that come in there. It's hard to get the world-class guys.
Yeah.
They're, so busy doing the mainstream, but, I mean, we try to get by with what we have and, just train it the best we can.
And has that been something that, putting an emphasis on that for quite some time, or is that something that's more recent to your training regimen?
You have to incorporate it just as much as everything else, so try and train everything equally as much.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that last night, if Jeff had been able to squash a couple of takedowns from Josh, it looked like he probably could have pulled out the win. It looked like he had the better stand-up, and he came close to submitting him. But, yeah, wrestling was the clear winning factor, I'd say, in that fight.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Roger, we appreciate you coming on the program, and best of luck when you take on Mike Maurer at the upcoming MC on February 3rd.
Right on. Thanks for having me.
Okay, take care. The best coverage of the toughest fighters in the toughest sport can only be found in Full Contact Fighter. For over a decade now, FCF has been bringing mixed martial arts fans across the globe in-depth reporting of the world's greatest sport. From Brazil, Japan, Europe, Canada, and the US, FCF brings you all the fighter bios, event reports, training and technique tips any avid MMA fan would want. Every month, 12 times a year, we do it. Full Contact Fighter is your best source for MMA coverage. Pick up the latest edition of the paper by subscribing at www.fcfighter.com or call 516-676-0033. Again, the number 516-676-0033. Full Contact Fighter, the undefeated, no-holds-barred news source of the world, and when you call, tell them that FCF Radio sent you. The Debate.
This guy does not have time to sit down like you're doing, watch the replay, think about it. You know, it's not like he can sit back and, you know, Monday quarterback it or whatever the hell, I'm sure Monday whatever you call it.
The Discussion. Well, for us, with Brendan and I both being Canadians, we care to say Hockey Night in Canada, yet when we're talking about analysis, a little different than Monday Night Football. We're not too familiar.
There you go. Sure, whatever. Whatever, you damn conductor. Cold weather, man. That is tough. But don't worry, global warming, you guys are going to be the place to be in like 10 more years. It's going to be so hot here in Vegas, I would have to move to Canada.
Full Contact Fighter Radio. More bang for your loony than a six-pack for a toonie. And if you've never been to Canada before, loonies and toonies are what Canadians refer to their $1 and $2 coins as. It's a long, long story. Welcome back to Full Contact Fighter Radio. And Brendan, we didn't make any picks for the Ultimate Fight Night on Wednesday, but we still have some time here to discuss the results. And what were your thoughts on the card overall?
That's too bad. I would have gotten them all right.
I don't think so, man, because if you remember, when we had Joe Riggs on the program, he asked me who I thought was going to win, and I went with Diego, and you went with Joe, so there's one right away that you're wrong on. The only pick we made, you were wrong, which actually I think means that I've retaken the lead, but I've kind of lost track of that stuff.
Too complicated.
But
statistics are just unruly.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on the main event? I guess we'll go into that first. You know, I thought that, of course, you've got to give full props and credit to Diego Sanchez. I mean, a very impressive knockout win. But, you know, part of me, and maybe I'm sounding biased because we've had Joe a couple times on the program, and he's always a very enjoyable guest to have on. I kind of felt a little bit bad for him. You know, he got caught and dropped, and then he was going for the shot to recover. And well, you've got to give credit to Diego. He saw that opening and crushed him with the knee. But very somewhat anticlimactic main event, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I'd like to see it go a little bit longer in that. And, you know, unfortunately, Riggs is one of these guys who seems to, the guy can't seem to get a break, you know? And if you actually watch that fight again, I watched it one more time, and it was one of these things where they actually hit one another simultaneously, and I actually think, even though Riggs went down, that Diego was far more injured after that, because he was hooped after. I think Riggs nailed him in the temple, and Diego went and automatically didn't celebrate, went and sat down and said, "I can't see." So, you know, if Riggs wouldn't have gone down there, you know, would Diego have been able to recover from that?
Well, he obviously recovered quick enough to run at him and throw the basic flying knee, though. I mean,
well, yeah, you don't want to idly speculate. But if Riggs just would have, you know, he certainly wasn't knocked out when Diego just knocked him down. Mm-hmm. But if he wouldn't have tried to get back up, if he would have just stayed on his back, you know, would that shot from Riggs have actually set in on Diego like it did?
Yeah, it's hard to say, but I mean, full credit to Diego Sanchez, and of course. Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see who they match him up against next, but you've got to think it's getting very close to a title shot. And, you know, I guess if it sounds like Matt Hughes and George St. Pierre is confirmed for, I believe, is it April that was confirmed?
It sounds like April 7th in Montreal. I haven't received my airline tickets yet, so I don't know from the Full Contact Fighter head office, so I don't know whether, I don't know exactly what the dates are.
So, and then you've got George St. Pierre fighting Matt Serra before that. So obviously Diego is going to have at least one fight in between now and then. One would think, it would almost seem like a virtual impossibility for him not to fight again outside before a title shot. So, who do you think they would at this point, Brendan? When you take a survey of the welterweight division, who would you speculate the UFC would match him up against?
Well, I think you got to, if you look at St. Pierre fighting two times in the next few months. He's going to have some time off after that. I think the way it's going to go is probably St. Pierre, if he beats Sarah, St. Pierre Hughes. If St. Pierre beats Hughes, then probably St. Pierre Diego a few months after, if St. Diego beats Koscheck.
You think it's going to be Koscheck?
Yeah, I think so for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
No possibility of John Fitch?
I think everyone will see that as a step sideways for Diego, like maybe they're protecting him a little bit. And I think the cost check is just the obvious one, you know, because of their relationship in the first, and, you know, from the reality show. Mm-hmm. You know, there's already bad blood there. There's already, you know, sort of animosity. And Koscheck's is on a bit of a tear right now, too, so.
Was there animosity? I don't really remember now. Were they?
I think there was some, you know, to be quite honest, I don't remember either, but I think there was some.
Yeah.
There was no spritzing, I mean, involved between the two, but there was definitely some animosity, I think.
Yeah, and I don't know if I would, I think I know what you're saying about John Fitch. I wouldn't necessarily say that's a side step as far as protecting him. I think Fitch is a great fighter. MMA, as far as fans' awareness of who Fitch is, he's somewhat not in the spotlight like Koscheck, so I agree with you on that.
Exactly.
And if you look at someone like Josh, who's got, you know, unbelievable wrestling, and we can talk about his fight with Jeff Joslin next. You look at John Fitch, who's also got great wrestling, but Josh seems to be a bit more powerful than John, or from what I've seen at John's fights. So I think Koscheck definitely has a chance to beat Diego if he can dictate the takedowns and get up to the ground, etc. And on that note, Jeff Joslin, I thought, looked very impressive. His wrestling capabilities were obviously nowhere near that of Koscheck's, and that's what won Josh the fight.
Well, I think, you know, Joslin seemed to be, to me, I was really impressed with this his fight as well, and he really made Koscheck look very, very ordinary. And unfortunately, I think, just because the UFC, the rules are so biased towards wrestlers, you know, he obviously got the decision in that fight. But, you know, he basically neutralized Koscheck for two rounds, and he was in the worst of all possible positions, again, with his neck crammed up against the ropes. He had a great-looking butterfly guard. He had a great full guard. He looked like he was trying to sink in a triangle there at the end of the second round. Mm-hmm. And he made Koscheck look really ordinary. Unfortunately, he just couldn't pull the trigger on that big shot standing up, you know, but he was dominating the stand-up. So I definitely think we'll see him back, and there's a lot of great buzz around him. Koscheck, you know, again, he gets the takedowns, doesn't do anything with them, but that's enough to get the full decision. So,
well, I thought, you know, I don't think my appraisal of his performance is nearly as harsh as yours is kind of sounding. I thought that, and I'm kind of liberal as far as voting against the wrestling game a little bit, and I thought that Joslin, I can't remember which round it was, might have been the second, I would have given Joslin the second round, or maybe it was the first, I can't remember now, but I would have given Josh two rounds. And I think I definitely agree with you. By the third round, it looked like fatigue was setting in for Josh Koscheck, and he didn't really do so much. It was kind of a bit kinder back to the lay and pray criticism that Koscheck's received. But I thought earlier in the fight, he was definitely trying to pass the guard more. He was trying to pound out Joslin a little bit. He was throwing some elbows, etc. So I still maintain that his abilities have improved vastly since the reality show, or since his first UFC fights, I would say. I think clearly I think a lot of people in general, I think the buzz around Joslin was everyone heard that he was a black belt, and everyone just kind of thought that this was what, you know, he was just some kind of jiu-jitsu specialist, and I think Canadians up here, especially Eastern Canadians that follow Jeff's career, knew that that's a misperception, because, of course, Jeff has a great ground game, but he's also been doing martial arts since he's, like, what, 5-6 years old, striking martial arts, so he's a great striker.
Yeah, like, he's one of these old-school martial arts guys, kind of like St. Pierre, you know.
So,
I just want to correct you for a second, and don't think that I think if there's any one fighter that's improved over the last couple of years, it's Koscheck, and he's probably improved the most of any fighter that I can think of off the top of my head. So I certainly think he won that fight. Don't get me wrong, but I just don't think that the judging really reflected, and there is a bias in the UFC, you know, there is a bias towards.
But there's also, I do know what you're saying, there is a bias, but there's also a bias against fighters. There's a threat that if you're not entertaining, and understandably it's a business and you have to be concerned with this as your fighter, but playing devil's advocate, one could say props to Koscheck for even standing. I mean, this guy has got to know that Jeff Joslin has been doing stand-up fighting. He probably would have researched his opponent far more than I know a lot of us did, or a lot of us do. So Koscheck probably, you know, give him credit for saying, okay, well, first round, I'll see where I'm at with my stand-up against this guy, and you know, he took a gamble there, and didn't really start trying to take the fight down until it was becoming apparent that Joslin was going to better him on the stand-up. So, you know, he could have just gone for the takedown right away, immediately, and so the fact that he's been working on his striking game with AKA, etc., you know, it wasn't a super exciting fight, but I do give him props for at least standing and his wrestling, man. I mean, a guy that powerful, it just really shows that you're right, there's a wrestling, there is somewhat of a bias towards the wrestling game as far as judges traditionally award lots of points for a takedown and don't really seem to acknowledge stuffed takedowns, which I think is the biggest scoring flaw in the UFC. But the fact that at this point now, when you look at the wrestling component of mixed martial arts, it's just enormous. If you can't wrestle, most of the top guys in most of the divisions now can, and if you can't wrestle, you're screwed.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No. No. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it. And I think, you know, I don't get me wrong. I think Koscheck has the potential probably to be a champion. And I'm not crazy about his style, but what he is, you know, what he's working on is his dedication. And I think that comes from. I have the ultimate respect for wrestlers as athletes, and I've always maintained that these guys just have a level of competitive attitude coming out of collegiate wrestling that is unequaled. And they've been in competitions, they've been in the highest level of competition. So coming into MMA, just the mentality and the discipline they require to train is there. So they already have an advantage, and over someone like, you know, take someone like Jocelyn, who's a lifelong martial artist. But lifelong martial artists, they compete and stuff like that. But I don't think never anything on that level of collegiate wrestling. Their fitness is certainly never ever on that level. So they're just not tested in the way that collegiate wrestlers are tested. So I think Koscheck, to his credit, has done everything that he could to get as good as he can, and still. I give him credit too for standing through that fight, and I actually appreciate watching that fight because it was a decision, but I thought it was a fairly exciting fight. It was very interesting to see someone being mauled by a sort of maul and brawl wrestler actually doing so adequately on the ground, and I think that was a great demonstration of a really, really interesting dynamic guard.
His groundwork.
Pull for guard and hold on for dear life, right?
Yeah, you know? No, his groundwork, his guard work is sick. Like, I was actually quite somewhat surprised. I just kind of figured when I was watching the fight, I even said to my girlfriend, I'm like, wow, like, I'd heard good things about Jeff's ground game, but I was kind of surprised that I hadn't heard more, because, yeah, just watching how he's utilizing the butterfly guard, and Rogan was going on about it, too, and, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It was very impressive. I thought, unquestionably, the fight of the night was Carol Parisen versus Drew Fickett.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, and it was interesting for me, like, if you think back to, Carol's one of my favorite fighters just because I've never ever seen him in a boring fight. And then you have to ask yourself, well, why is that? And he really fights in a very fearless manner. But he was different. His last, I guess this fight and his fight against the GOAT, very uncharacteristic of him, you know. So he showed no interest in working a lot on the ground. He stood up a couple times when he had a dominant position on the ground, and he really fights with a sort of, I don't want to say reckless abandon, but it's kind of a carefree attitude in terms of needing a dominant position. He's really interested in the chaotic scrambling of the fight, and I love to see that. And he has thrown his stand up seems to have improved a lot. And I don't know if we just didn't recognize it before, but it looked. Again, not traditional, but it looked very, very effective for certain.
Well, yeah, I think that his stand-up looked better. I'm not sure about Drew's level of stand-up fighting. You know, Carol's kind of got that unorthodox style, and at times you just want to cringe. But yeah, he definitely looked like he's improved that part of his game. And who would have thought? I mean, when I heard this fight was announced, I was so excited, and I thought it was very underhyped, if that's even a word. And I really thought it was going to be a similar fight to the Sanchez fight. You know, I thought we were going to see a lot of great groundwork, and there was a few glimpses of that, but it certainly unfolded in a manner that I did not expect, and it still was very, very entertaining. And really, if you look at Caro's career now, you know, this win for him was just absolutely huge, because if he had lost, I'm not sure how much more future he would have had in the UFC. It's tough to say. I mean, they might have brought him back, but if he had lost, I think this fight definitely was one he absolutely had to win.
Well, it's, you know, Carl's got a tough road to the top again, because Well, you would think that, but then again, the UFC is certainly not shy about having rematches, and I think hopefully that will become less and less the thing to do. But, you know, Carl, the only guy he hasn't fought is Hughes, and I actually thought that that would be a matchup that Hughes might look for before St. Pierre.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, he's kind of would he want to fight kind of a wonky fighter like that? I'm not exactly sure. And even Monty Cox had talked about that, not wanting to have a back-to-back with St. Pierre and maybe fighting someone. He actually mentioned Caro's name. So
yeah, well, I mean, Caro was supposed to fight him before, and, you know, because of an injury, it never happened. And now I guess it kind of come full circle. But I want to talk a little bit about that. I mean, I kind of agree with you. I'm a little shocked if it is in the cards that Matt Hughes is going to fight George St. Pierre on an automatic rematch, assuming George beats Matt, but Matt Serra. But I'm a little surprised by that. I understand it's not until April, but yeah, you would think that they would throw him in against someone else to maybe get some confidence back, or maybe he doesn't need it, but maybe he doesn't want to fight someone else beforehand. But a little bit surprised with that move by the UFC.
Yeah, I'm surprised as well. It's good. And I think it's I wouldn't mind watching the fight again, I'm sure, but I don't understand from Matt's perspective why he would want to take that fight immediately. It makes no sense to me.
Well, I'm not too surprised, really. I mean, Matt Hughes is certainly a very confident fighter, I think it's safe to say, and his camp are very confident, and the people surrounding him seem to be extremely confident that he'll be able to beat George St. Pierre in a rematch. And there's a lot of people out there, writers, observers, fans, etc., who think that as well. However, I'm just kind of surprised that, yeah, there's not sort of a fight in between now and then, and you're right, I mean, Carl Parisian would be an interesting matchup, undoubtedly. I mean, he was supposed to fight Matt before, and if you look at Carl's career, he's lost to Diego earlier this year, and before that, his last loss was to George St. Pierre, which was 2 years ago, and since that time, he's taken out Diaz, Lytle, Serra, the GOAT, Thompson, so he's got some wins. And then you also have to wonder, yeah, where does Josh Koscheck fit in between now and then, and where does John Fitch fit in? So, well, it'll be interesting to see.
I guess maybe Matt's just thinking, you know, how far down in 170 do you have to go to get an easy fight? And, you know, it's pretty far down. So I think 170, like I've always maintained, 170 is so deep that there is probably not a recognizable name that would be a quote-unquote tune-up fight. Matt, I think that's what he's thinking, like, why go through that, you know?
Exactly, and I think people who are fans or admirers of Matt Hughes, I think in the argument does have some validity. I think you could also argue, well, look, I mean, Matt Hughes has defended his title numerous times, he has beaten George St. Pierre once before, yes, he lost, but he deserves it, and it is his right as the former champion and longtime champion, that if he doesn't want to fight someone else, can risk an injury or whatever at this stage in his career, then he's got that right, and perhaps there is some merit to that argument. I don't know.
Well, you know, I completely agree with that too. That's his prerogative. My question is, why would you want to do it? My question is, why would you want to do it so soon? And maybe that's his call to make. And I don't begrudge him wanting to have an immediate rematch. That's fine, but I guess, you know, what are you going to do, and, you know, how is he going to tweak his game, and if it was a close fight, and if it was just if St. Pierre eked out a win, I could see him wanting to go back, right back at him, but it certainly, you know, it wasn't like that, so it will be very interesting to see what he comes with, and what he comes back with.
Yeah, and last thing I want to touch on, we had David Loazzo on the show the other day, and he didn't want to get into specifics, or he claimed he didn't know any specifics about the Showtime, the Elite Extreme Combat, I believe, is the name of the promotion, and they're going to be showing mixed martial arts cards on Showtime, which is a huge announcement for the world of mixed martial arts, there's no question about it, and since then, the press conference has come and gone. Frank Shamrock versus Renzo Gracie is going to be the first main event in February, I believe. What were your thoughts on that announcement, Brendan?
I don't really understand what Frank is trying to do. So I know, you know, Frank is kind of one of these guys who has his reputation, a very well earned reputation. He's still in great shape, but if you're going to come back and have an active fighting career, do you want to come back, you know, in the sort of seniors tour, or do you want to come back as an earnest, well established, legitimate contender, you know, as being the best of the best. And it seems to me that Frank is sort of choosing the seniors tour for some reason. Maybe he wants to tune up against these guys, but I'm not sure. It's kind of disappointing. But then again, you know, I know he's very interested in getting paid for what he does as well. So maybe the seniors tour is where the money is.
Yeah, and that's, I agree with you. I think that's probably part of the big reason that he's going. Another thing that kind of raised a red flag with me, though, with that announcement, is that Frank's supposed to be fighting Phil Baroni, I believe, and I can't remember if it's March or April in Strikeforce, and apparently that contract's signed. So all of a sudden you've got him fighting in February. So how does that work? I mean, I guess he doesn't have an exclusive contract with Strikeforce, but then you always have to worry about injuries, etc. And that kind of surprised me a little bit too.
Yeah, it's never, well, one of the things that we know for sure is that it's tough to pin down, you know, unless your ass is in the seat and Frank walks by you on the way to the ring, it's very difficult to pin other than that kind of confirmation if he's actually going to fight somewhere or not. So this is one of those, he's certainly a fighter that's involved in many potential matches, and oftentimes we don't see these things coming to fruition. So hopefully these things are a go. And it will be very interesting to see inevitably what happens. It looks like Enzo wants to fight a fair bit as well coming up too. So
yeah, I mean, he's got the fight against Carlos Newton December 30th, and then he's got this fight coming up too. So you're absolutely right. And Enzo's always great. I mean, he's one of those guys that we talked about this already, but he you know handled himself very well in the IFL or the 60 Minutes interview, and he's a very charismatic fighter to watch. And I give him full credit for competing as much as he has been. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. I was a little bit surprised, and even when you look at the roster, and I don't want to jump on Showtime too much yet. I mean, they have probably clearly have a lot of time, and it sounds like they have plenty of resources to put together a very deep roster of fighters. But for the opening press conference, other than Loazo, you got Antonio Silva. Apparently, is under contract to them as well. Who's the Brazilian heavyweight who's been highly touted? You know, he just lost to Eric Pelle recently, but. Other than those two, there wasn't really any other big name announcements as far as who they have under contract yet.
Well, and maybe Showtime is going to go out about this very incrementally and sort of build up a roster of fighters that they're comfortable with. And you know, I don't think if you have money, you know, I don't think you have to necessarily go the route of the WFA and say we're going to go automatically out of the gate. We're going to try and go toe to toe with the UFC and their name recognition and just buy away big fighters. I think you have to sort of build a base, and maybe this is going to be their show. You know, it's going to be something that is going to be maybe a better card than free TV card, but you know, won't be a pay-per-view level, and sort of see where it goes from there.
Yeah, well, and it's nice to see that this announcement's been made and they officially do have a contract with Showtime, because that clearly is going to mean a lot of exposure for mixed martial arts and this promotion. And when you see, you know, companies like WFA are now gone, and there's a lot of hype surrounding that company. And then with the WFO, I believe it was called, Cesar Gracie's resigned from that organization due to some speculation, you know, speculating that there were some financial problems with that organization. So now to hear that a couple of the, you know, bigger company announcements that never really came to fruition, that's somewhat off, you know. It's nice to see that Showtime it appears so far that they've got their cards in order, and that's great.
Yeah, I don't know how many basically how many homes Showtime goes into. We don't have Showtime here in Canada, so I'm not sure what the extent of their coverage into the States is, and how many homes get it, and all that jazz. So it'll be interesting to see if that has the same. Certainly, Spike is on more televisions in the States than Showtime. There's no doubt about that. So,
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of entryway they get into the market. And maybe, you know, if they're doing boxing, and if this could just replace boxing on Showtime or HBO, then again, that's another sort of bonus, I think, for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. All right, Brendan. Well, it's getting close to quitting time for you, and the weekend is near. So you go enjoy yourself, buddy, and we'll talk to you next week.
Will do, Kelsey. Have a nice weekend. And what's going on in Vancouver? We didn't get the apocalypse update.
Actually, I think some of our sins have been forgiven, because today, although power is out in some parts of the city due to the windstorms last night, today the sun is shining, and I think it's about plus 12 degrees. So, It's pretty nice.
And I just flipped through the football game last night in Seattle, and they had some kind of crazy rainstorm there.
Yeah.
As well. Did you guys get that as well?
Yeah, like there was a huge windstorm last night. I'm not sure how much rain we got, but yeah, there's power out in a bunch, a good portion of the city right now, apparently. Traffic lights out, etc. So if this was live radio, I would suggest to anyone traveling throughout Vancouver that they should perhaps reconsider, but it's not live, so don't listen to me.
All right, Kelsey.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.